More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Thursday edition of the program. We're going to have some fun. Carol Markowitz is going to join us in the third hour, part of the Clay and Buck Podcast Network, New York Post writer. She wrote a great, I saw a great piece. She has a Substack. Buck, we'll talk about this a little bit in the third hour about the conversations that Jewish people in America are having as the situation in Israel continues. What's that impact going to be? We'll talk about all that. But right off the top here, not far from the Clay and Buck studios in New York City, I guess technically we have three Clay and Buck studios now. We have the Miami version, where Buck Sexton is typically based. We have the Nashville area version, where I am typically based. And then we have the New York City base, where much of the crew is located. They're just off 6th Avenue, not far from Radio City Music Hall. For those of you who know New York City well, there's going to be a $25 million fundraiser for Joe Biden tonight, featuring Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden. If you donate $100,000, you can get your picture made with all three of them. I don't imagine that's very common to get your picture made, for those of you who are just history people, with three different either current or former presidents. I do think it's a little bit interesting that they're claiming that Donald Trump is a sexual predator, yet Bill Clinton is headlining the fundraiser and nobody has any issue with it at all. But all of the money, they are going to just throw money. Biden is going to be able to raise money the likes of which you have never seen before. And Buck, here's my thought on this. Fox News has a new poll out. Donald Trump, 5-point lead. It is the biggest lead that Donald Trump has ever had in any Fox News poll in history over Joe Biden right now. And there were a couple of things that stood out to me that I want to hit you with that I went through and looked at all the numbers in this poll. That to me right now, if you ask me a little bit over 7 months from election day, how is this race going to be determined? Here's what I think this comes down to. In the Fox News poll in October of 2020, right before the 2020 election, Joe Biden had a favorability rating, Buck, of plus 11. 55% favorable, 44% unfavorable. Donald Trump had a favorability of 44 and an unfavorability of 55. So minus 11, 22-point different in favor of Joe Biden. Now in March, all right, we've gone from Biden plus 22 in the last election to the current Fox News poll. Joe Biden is minus 21, 39% favorable, 60% unfavorable. Donald Trump is 45% favorable, 54% unfavorable. In other words, nothing has really changed with Trump. People generally about 44-45% of people like him, about 55% of people dislike him. Joe Biden's unfavorability has collapsed. That is, people now really dislike Joe Biden compared to when he won. I think that basically is the race. So my question for you, Buck, can they change this? Is it possible for Joe Biden to change his favorability? I think it's fair to say nothing's going to change with Trump. Everybody has already made their opinion. To me, the question of the race is, can Joe Biden get his favorability ratings up? What say you?
Well, I think that what you're seeing with the all-out fundraising effort and bringing together the most recognizable brands. I mean, you have to say Biden is one because he's the president, right? So everyone knows who Biden is, even though the fact that he has a political brand at all is sort of depressing for the country. But you've Biden, Clinton, Obama, they're all together raising money in New York City. This is what we've been saying all along, which is this is a machine election, or rather this is a brand election whereby people will be encouraged on the Democrat side to vote for a Democrat, and the fact that it's Biden is supposed to be effectively irrelevant, right? You're voting Democrat, you're not voting Biden. That's the way they're positioning this. And I think there's a chance you will even hear more, and the way they'll do this is they'll start to release this out into the press. You know how we talked here on the show, Clay, about it was that excellent piece, and it was with the Obama biographer. It was just in an interview where he talked about how Obama lives a stone's throw from the White House still, and also there's a constant coming and going of senior White House personnel to the Obama residence. You would think that would be a bigger story. I think that they may actually start to talk more about that, with the idea that, you know, it's not just that Biden could be president for four more years. It's the Hillary Clinton, it takes a village approach, right? You're going to get, you know, the Clinton savvy. You're going to get Obama, you know, political insight, and you're going to have Joe Biden as the president. Like, they're going to try to package this as all of the wisest men and women of the Democrat Party are effectively on the ticket. And that's all a branding exercise. It's absurd. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, I think that they're going to have to try to bolster the Biden ticket by making it all about the party and not about the individual, right? I mean, which is, I think, very different than what you had with Obama, where it was really about, it was like, vote Obama and maybe you happen to be a Democrat or whatever, but they were really pushing the man. This time they're pushing the brand. And so can they do it? Of course, that's the, I don't know how much money is going to be spent on this election, probably $2-3 billion. So we'll call it the three or four billion dollar question, something like that. I will say that you mentioned this, and it's still making a lot of rounds online, Clay. Biden's mentions of Bidenomics.
Yes.
That chart from Axios. I pulled it just so we could just give folks some sense. July of 2023, he mentions it, or June of 2023, he mentions it 29 times publicly. Last month, he mentioned it one time, once.
And zero in February, two times in January. And the other interesting thing about that is, Republicans mentioned it 474 times. So talk about something blowing up in your face. Republicans have taken Bidenomics and run with it. Biden isn't mentioning it at all. Here's the other thing that I think this comes down to. So I think likability, I think Biden was able to win as the, you know, grandpa that you could trust in 2020. We all know it's BS now. That's collapsed. Here's the other thing. Are you better or worse off financially today than you were 4 years ago? 22% say they are better off. 52% say they're worse off. I think that's something that Trump is going to be able to hammer. And here, listen to these numbers, Buck. White people, 21% better off, 54% worse off. Black people, 29% better off, 54% worse. Hispanic, 22, 50. Independent voters, 18% better off, 59% worse off. Suburbs, no college, college grad, everybody is worse off by a massive amount. That's a Fox News poll that came out yesterday. To me, that is one that Trump can continue to hammer. Now, they're going to try to use COVID to argue that everybody's actually way better off. But I think most people don't blame Trump for COVID. And we've seen most people are not getting blamed no matter what for COVID. But COVID just kind of showed up in March of 2020 and Trump was president and it got worse with Biden in office.
It's interesting to look at this as a replay of the 2008 playbook in a sense, right? A lot of what Biden is doing, it isn't a repeat, but it rhymes, to borrow from the phrase about history, right? There's something very similar between how Biden is approaching his presidency and what we saw with the Obama administration. But when Obama came in, the first time around, he was able to say, with some credibility, Republicans, remember this? You'd say, you know, Republicans drove us into a ditch and I'm driving us out of the ditch, because you had a financial collapse that I think unfairly was blamed on Republicans because they've convinced people that Republicans are the party of the rich and the party of Wall Street. Actually not true. Democrats, by the numbers, are the party of Wall Street and the rich, but that perception,
as evidenced by the fundraiser that's taking place not far from Wall Street in New York City tonight.
I mean, the Republicans are now the party of the middle and upper middle class and the working class in a whole range of ways. People would argue that, of course, but in a whole range of ways. I just thought even little things like this, though, to your "are you better off" question, Clay. You see the Dollar Tree raised its price cap to $7?
Yes.
So Dollar Tree is no longer Dollar Tree. It's $7 Tree. And if you were used to paying a dollar for everything, $7 at Dollar Tree feels like that's a hefty price tag. I'd also point to the numbers on immigration are staggering in terms of the importance, not just for Republicans where it's overwhelmingly the number one issue, but it's a big issue for independents as well. Democrats are living on another planet. I don't know if you saw this. I want to say it was a Siena poll. We're looking at so many polls these days. But their top three issues, two of their top three issues were gun violence and climate change. You know what number one was, right?
For Democrats?
Democrats. Safeguarding our democracy. Like, these aren't even things. What does that even mean? It has no meaning. This is a religious belief masquerading as a political belief. Safeguarding our democracy? That's their number one issue, Clay. Above the economy, above immigration, and you start to see how it is feeling like we're living in different countries. If Democrats want to say, I care the most about the economy, and I think that Biden will do a better job, I mean, I'd love to hear that explanation, but because basically, it's always the same thing, right? Rich people will be taxed more money will be distributed to the less rich. Socialism, that's what they'll offer for the economy. Instead, climate change is the, like, number three issue for Democrats? It's like we're not living in the same world.
I'm going to keep hammering this home because I know a lot of you parents, grandparents out there. Look at the population charts. Ultimately, I think you would agree with this, Buck. Having a kid is a vote for being confident about the future. If you go look at population, generally speaking, in economies that are in recession or where there is not a great deal of freedom, there are fewer births. And I'm talking about in an era when people can make rational choices about having children, right? Not some third world country where there's no education or ability. The population in every Western democracy is collapsing right now. And I hear all the time about climate change. By the end of this century, we're talking about population collapses, the likes of which no one is even mentioning. I mean, I'm serious.
Elon Musk, Elon Musk, pretty smart guy, big understatement. I mean, I think he's a brilliant guy, and I think arguably is certainly a visionary and maybe even a genius. He talks about this issue, and it's interesting because people say, oh, why is he talking about this? By the numbers.
Yes.
It is a huge crisis. It is a huge problem. By the numbers, it is a massive challenge for developed countries.
And countries that are very different, right? Like Italy and Japan don't necessarily have, to my knowledge, a ton of cultural similarities. Both of their populations are collapsing. And so I'm talking about human civilization. We may have already peaked at the population of the world. And in your grandkids' lives out there, we may half the population of the world. So for everybody out there running around like, oh, climate change is an existential threat. Like, if you look at trend lines, people are not having kids. They are not replacing themselves. Humanity's population is actually, over the next 100 years, potentially going to collapse. That's what I'm concerned about. And maybe I'm a rarity here. Anyway, more happily, I want you to go download Prize Picks. And I have got a winner for you tonight. The Sweet 16 is going on, Buck. We got four great college basketball games taking place. And I have got a winner for you. We hit on three of the last four. I'm going to give you picks today and tomorrow. Go to prizepicks.com/Clay. Use my name, Clay. You put in $100, you get back $100. Here's my picks. Chase Hunter, more than 14.5 points. Caleb Love, more than 18.5 points. Sears for Alabama, over on points, on rebounds and assist, more than 31. And Armando Bacot, more than 16.5 points. That is four different teams, four different games. You have the opportunity to hit a 10-1 on this. It'll be up at clayandbuck.com. I will also tweet this out. Go right now. Let's have some fun. Prizepicks.com. 10-1 payout if we hit on that one. The last one, 3 out of 4 hit, and you won some money if you were playing it. Let's do it again. Prizepicks.com. Use my name, Clay. Get hooked up. Enjoy the Sweet 16 tonight. Let's hit on some picks.
From the front lines of truth, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Clay and Buck. We'll take your calls this hour at the end of the hour, 800-282-2882. Also, some updates here. Sam Bankman-Fried, the FTC crypto coin scammer, has gotten 25 years in federal prison for fraud. whole range of charges, but basically for defrauding customers, investors. And it's interesting to see that based on the scale of the alleged fraud, which is in the billions of dollars, some people are saying that this wasn't that he could have gone away for longer. I think Madoff got something like 100-something years, something crazy. I mean, he obviously didn't make it that long. That was just to send a message. Madoff didn't have that long to go anyway. He was toward the end, or, end part of his life. Bankman-Fried's very young. So, I mean, if he gets 25 and he could serve 25. If he gets 70, well, that would be a long way, but pretty close to it. Clay, I think the other part of this that's interesting, you brought this to my attention. They think that a lot of the investors will be made whole at this point because of the price of Bitcoin and crypto.
Yeah. Front page, I believe the Wall Street Journal today. There's actually not going to be any lost money, they think, because Bitcoin has, and crypto and all these other different things have gained in value. So it kind of circles back around to Sam Bankman-Fried is getting 25 years in prison and nobody's losing any money, which is kind of unheard of in a fraud case. And so it makes me wonder, and I don't claim to be some sort of financial expert, but all businesses come with a certain degree of risk. And I think Sam Bankman-Fried's defense has been, I didn't defraud anybody. If everybody gets their money back,
he did. He took money and put it into other things when it was meant to buy specific crypto coins or, you know, specific,
he made risky bets based on the assets, my understanding, of the people that had put crypto into his control. And I think he was incredibly messy. But does it rise to the level of definite fraud? I think for most people, when you think of fraud, you think of people losing money. Now that everybody's getting their money back, it makes me kind of, my eyebrows go up a bit.
We should dig into it a little more. I mean, 25 years is a really long federal sentence. So, you know, Pure Talk believes in American values. You see it in their actions, supporting our veterans, for instance, or hiring an all U.S.-based customer service team because they believe in creating more jobs here in America. They also believe that when companies offer something for free, they should make it exactly that, free. Switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk and get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. The phone is built to last with a sturdy screen, quick charging battery, top tier data security. Qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and mobile hotspot. Pure Talk will connect you to the most dependable 5G network in America for half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year. I'm on Pure Talk. Join me, my friends. Dial #250, say the keywords Clay and Buck. That's #250, say the keywords Clay and Buck.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. I do think this is really worth drawing attention to. Donald Trump is going to be attending the wake of the murdered New York City police officer, Jonathan Diller. Killer of Jonathan Diller had been arrested 21 times prior to the murder of this young father. Tunnel the Towers, by the way, is going to pay off the mortgage of that young police officer's family. I believe he had a 2-year-old son. 21 arrests. Trump is going to the wake. He was honored to be invited to that wake, he said. Joe Biden is showing up in New York City to raise $25 million, not far from where that murder occurred. And to my knowledge, Buck, no one inside of the White House has even mentioned the name of that police officer who was murdered, Jonathan Diller. I just think that crystallizes in many ways what this race is about. On the one hand, you have a failed president who won't even acknowledge the policies that he has encouraged and put in place to allow criminals to avoid punishment for their violent acts. On the other hand, you have Donald Trump traveling to New York City to go to the wake. Biden's going to be in New York City, but he's raising $25 million. He doesn't even have the time to pay attention to this New York City police officer who was murdered. Again, it is a snapshot of a campaign that is to come, but it crystallizes things to a large extent for me.
I also understand at some level why they would view Biden's presence, meaning the Democrats, Democrat media, would view his presence as some kind of political risk, because all it takes is one journalist to decide to do a random act of journalism and say, what do you think about the fact that this guy was arrested 21 times before and they'd previously gotten him on a gun charge, the perpetrator who killed the officer? Don't you think that the district attorney of New York, a Democrat, failed? Don't you think the mayor of New York, a Democrat, failed? You know, these would be the questions that would actually be asked. If this were the first time that that individual had ever committed a crime, you might say, look, you can't stop all violence. Obviously, you can't stop all crimes. If you've been arrested 21 times and it's only the 21st time when you murder a police officer that law enforcement is allowed to take it seriously at the prosecutorial level, there's a massive system failure underway. And while Biden always pretends like he supports the police, his party doesn't. That's the problem. It's very obvious that Democrats, because of their race politics, refuse to look at law enforcement with open and honest eyes and deal with the rising crime rates in a lot of our major cities and most of our major cities. And so it's a political liability for them. That's the thing. Because at this point, I remember, Clay, do you remember this? For a while, as the crime rates were skyrocketing, they were saying it's because of COVID,
yeah.
Which was... And I don't mean they as in random internet commentators. That was, you know, New York Times, Washington Post. Oh, COVID is causing, which made no sense. If anything, other countries were having huge drops in crime because nobody's right. Interacting and no one's going out the same way. So they've just lied at every step and they've run out of room to keep lying. That's why Biden knows he's not going to show. Also, he would get, this is the part of it they really don't want you to think about. If Biden went to the wake or funeral of this officer, there would be some blowback from elements within his own party. Because you know what they would say? They'd say, why is he going to this? Why didn't he go to, you know, the funeral of Breonna Taylor? Why didn't he go to the, and by the way, maybe he did, I don't know, but why didn't he go to, they'll name some victim of police violence, right? Because they view this stuff as zero sum. They don't view it as we can just be opposed to violence across the board and want to keep everybody safe. That's our position.
Well, And it also just reflects one of the biggest issues that we have is anecdotal based media, by which I mean it's fine to use anecdotes to crystallize larger stories, but they have to be reflective of a larger problem. And oftentimes in the Biden White House, they focus on things that are not actually emblematic of larger issues because they want to have the identity politics scorecard in their favor. And then they won't even mention Lake and Riley. They won't mention this police officer with the 1-year-old. Again, thank you to Tunnel to Towers and Frank Siller for what they're doing to help that family as best they can. And I think it's telling that the family wanted. I believe we have a quote here from Caroline Levitt, who's been on the show quite a lot, saying, President Trump is moved by the invitation to join NYPD officer Jonathan Diller's family and colleagues as they deal with his senseless and tragic death. That's Caroline Levitt, putting out that statement yesterday. Again, Biden is in New York. It's not as if he's not going to be there, and he claims to have this connection with everybody over the loss of life of family members because he brings up Bo Biden all the time. But actually, when you drill down to it, in times such as these, he's totally absent. And that's why I think Trump is going to win. Almost everybody who's a police officer is going to vote for him nationwide. Yeah. But also a lot of these union voters, because I think that cuts through too, even though traditionally union voters have been Democrat supporters.
I think it depends on the union. I think a lot, but I would say on the police side, absolutely. And it's because when you're a police officer, and as everyone knows, I spent about 18 months alongside officers of the NYPD in the intelligence division, as effectively a civilian analyst for the terrorism cases that they were putting together. But when you're dealing with police officers, they have to deal in reality, right? They're dealing with reality day in and day out. What's going on the streets? What's the crime level like? You know, what's the threat level in different neighborhoods to civilians, to police officers? How do people react to cops when they're in different neighborhoods? I mean, they're picking up on all this all the time, and the narratives that are out there. I mean, they're running right now. You might have seen this. The problem with reading so much news is it's tough to remember the sources, but it's like CNN or one of these places did a whole thing on, or I think it was MSNBC, same thing, did this. Well, Republicans are talking about how crime rates are rising. The data in recent years tells a different story. I just want everyone to understand, we had the biggest jump while Biden was president. Okay. We've suffered through the biggest jump in as a percentage in homicides in, I think, 50 years in this country. Okay. And it's gone up dramatically. And in some places over the last year or two, Clay, maybe homicides have dropped 3% or 7% or 5%. And they're saying, oh, we'll see. It's not like crime. Well, if you're at a super elevated level of crime, a 5% drop doesn't mean it is not statistically meaningful. It doesn't mean that they've done anything to change it. But these are the ways that they use numbers to lie. And that's one of the things they're doing about the crime right now. They're trying to convince people that the cities are not more dangerous. Subway, you see Mayor Adams? Which day is it, Clay? Is it a Monday or is it a Thursday? Because depending on the day, Adams, the mayor of New York City, will say subway crime is down. And then he'll say a few days later, we've got to get our subways safer. They're not safe enough. Well, which is it?
And by the way, it's also a function, for instance, on the subway, something like readership is down, ridership is down by half, compared to where it was pre-COVID. And a large percentage of that ridership bailing is because they don't feel safe. And yet the rates of crime have still gone up, even with half as many people riding. So, a lot of that is true. I believe the data is the largest single jump in murders on record happened from 2020 to 2021, I believe, or 2019 to 2020. The FBI data, and I think it was up 30% in 1 year murders. That's a pretty massive number. So then when you come back,
it basically started with the George Floyd death and then the riots. So it started, yes, it started under Trump.
To your point, lower, in that year because so many people weren't on the road. So it skyrocketed, you know, even though they were coming off of a lower number.
They went into, by June of 2020, the homicide rate was trending down nationally. And then it went, absolutely, it went skyrocketing. And then the part of this that should have been clear to everybody is, well, once Biden was elected, there had been a lot of shifts in policy, bail reform. I can actually point to the specific things in different places, you know, changing the amount that you're arrested for shoplifting, getting rid of cash bail, refusing to prosecute for certain crimes in San Francisco, in Philadelphia, in New York, in Oakland, and go down the list, in Los Angeles. They made these decisions and things kept getting worse and worse. And under Biden's first couple of years, they kind of continued with it. They're just like, yeah, you know, stuff out there. What can you do? You know,
yeah.
You know, don't complain about it. Don't be racist. I'm like, hold on. What does this have to do with race? They're the ones who always inject race into the conversation about law enforcement, by the way. If you just say, I want the laws to be enforced and I want criminals to be punished, the Democrats are the ones who will start to say that this is unjust. There's disparate impact. And there's a racial impact of this. And you say, okay, well, which one of us is bringing race into it? They're the ones that always introduce race because this should be universally applicable policy, irrespective of race. Enforce the law, keep people safe. You commit the crime, you do the time. Ask any, every, by the way, it's funny. Every cop knows this. You talk to any cop in any jurisdiction. I mean, a real cop, not a, you know, not somebody who's not like James Comey, who was a lawyer that they made head of the FBI. I mean, like an actual has to walk the streets and occasionally wrestle some shirtless maniac who's, you know, spitting in people's faces and saying that he's a, you know, a pterodactyl or something. Ask those cops what's going on in these places, and they all say the same thing, which is that the prosecutors won't prosecute, the, you know, the Patrolman's Association or the, you know, the union is scared of lawsuits now and yada yada all the way down the line.
And it's super frustrating because these guys bust their ass, they arrest bad guys, and then the bad guys are back out on the street almost before they can even get them to the station.
Yeah. Imagine that, but imagine if you've arrested, you're a cop in the New York City subway system, you're arresting someone, and what people don't realize sometimes is it's the same precinct. I mean, you know, these guys aren't necessarily traveling all over the city to do their crimes.
They know the bad guys.
They know the bad guys.
Yeah.
They've arrested these guys before. You go into any precinct, again, I can only speak to New York City, but I'm sure other law enforcement, you know, in cities, these guys have the same, and gals have the same thing. They're like, oh yeah, that guy, you know, that guy again. Cause if you've been arrested 15 or 20 times, guess what? They know who you are. And you can imagine you're arresting some guy the 20th time, especially if he's, you know, making it, a little bit of a resisting arrest situation. People are recording you. You start to be like, what am I doing here? I'm risking my career and maybe my freedom so that a DA can let this guy out in 4 hours. You know, but that's why Biden, Clay, can't, just to bring it all full circle. That's why Biden's not going to go to the wake or the funeral of this officer, because he can't highlight this stuff. He doesn't want people to see it. You know, there are important changes, life changing work going on at the Preborn Network of clinics. Their mission is to save unborn children, and they've been successful in saving the lives of 280,000 babies since their formation. Every day, the lives of 200 babies are saved. That happens when pregnant mothers contemplating life or abortion meet their unborn child via ultrasound, because by introducing a mother to her child on an ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. That experience, along with counseling and the offer of support in the way of maternity clothes, baby supplies, and diapers, are all provided without any cost to that mom. One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will help to rescue 5 babies. Any amount will help, and all gifts are tax deductible. Preborn relies on donations from individuals like you and me, and they operate without any government funding. To donate securely, use your cell phone and dial #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, say the name baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK, sponsored by Preborn.
You know them as conservative radio hosts. Now just get to know them as guys on the Sunday Hang podcast with Clay and Buck. Find it in their podcast feed on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network. iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Clay and Buck. Got some calls coming up here. Also, want to tell you where we're going. Our friend Carol Markowitz will be joining us third hour of the program. So we'll have that discussion. Some wins getting racked up here in Florida by Governor Ron DeSantis, A-plus governor, doing a great job here. Got a bunch of things that he's done that I'm hoping will be mirrored in other states. And I would just say that we should all keep in mind as we go into this election cycle. Yes, of course, the federal government matters a whole heck of a lot. The presidency matters a whole heck of a lot. But so does your state government, where you live. So does your governor. So does your state legislature. And if nothing else, maybe COVID was kind of a wake-up call to a lot of people about you can't just hope you have good enough federal governance and maybe, some good Republican administrations here and there. You got to live in a place where the state government's functioning to defend your rights and liberties, too. Let's take Ted in Florida, former New Jersey cop. What's up, Ted?
How you doing, sir?
We're good. Thanks.
Before I begin, let me offer you kudos in the name of the late Rush Limbaugh for carrying on such a fine tradition.
Mega ditto, sir. Thank you.
Mega kudos to you, sir. I was in law enforcement for 31 years, and I heard you mention the rank and file. Back in the days, seriously, we used to get what we jokingly referred to as repeat business. And I can't tell you how many days I worked the desk, and I would get calls from other jurisdictions that they got to stop. And do you know this guy? He says, yeah, repeat business, mostly known for nuisance crimes and, whatnot. But, yes, we do. We do recognize individuals that, you just get them over and over again. I got no other way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, they're frequent customers of the police department and the accommodations they're in.
How often, by the way, do you think cops, since you've got 31-year history, see something and they're like, we should arrest this guy, but he's going to be back out on the street so quickly that they don't even bother? Isn't that part of the context here, too, when you don't put bad guys and keep them behind bars? It actually drives down cops from wanting to do their job.
The thought does cross your mind, but I've never had that to where it hesitated or, made me change my decision. If I have to bring him in, I have to bring him in.
There we go. Well, that's the way it should be. Thank you,
yeah,
Ted.
Yeah, no doubt.
Appreciate you, sir. Let's dive into the situation in Florida. Oh, and also, Clay, actually, I might go to this one first here coming up. John Eastman, a lawyer for Trump with around the election issue. California judge ruled he should be disbarred. Now you can be disbarred for making legal arguments about an election that libs don't like. I think we should discuss that. More of the lawfare. That's coming up. Just a few.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.